Good morning. Curious? We are in part two of a series called Rejoice. I'm glad that you came today. Hope that to this day will be a day that you are able to rejoice and learn about rejoicing. We live in a world that is filled with misleading messages about happiness. Misleading messages about what are the keys to happiness. Well, we could swap out words if you want. It doesn't really change the fact that there are misleading messages about how to experience joy. And we have to be careful not to be misled into some of the ideas that are strongly coming in our direction. Just think in terms of advertisements. Advertisements are constantly giving us these misleading messages about what will make you happy. So to illustrate that, I brought some balloons. I know that we're not skin bags and little less than balloons. We're more than that, obviously, but it does illustrate quite well that we buy a misleading message and we think that we're going to be happy if we can do like the advertisement says and buy this latest and greatest shiny gadget. So we fill ourselves up with the happiness that comes from this shiny gadget. And we're enamored. It's so fabulous. Some of you are plugging your ears and getting ready. And so we just enjoy it for a moment. And then we lay flat on the floor, empty and feeling flat and tired. And we want to try something again. That was fun for a while. So we look for something else to fill ourselves up with. Maybe it's not gadgets. It's a thrilling experience. Whatever the experience might be. Let's try a different experience. Because that was not so great. And we love it. Whatever it is, the thrilling experience, the trip here and there to fill our lives with just a moment of joy, we're constantly looking for this thing that will fill that gaping vacuum within us to make us feel a little bit better. New clothes to look better. New car to experience everything better. Smell. I don't remember what a smell of a new car was like. But I can't wait, right? And on we go. And there's a problem there because we will frequently find ourselves, again, like the balloon, laying on the floor, feeling empty again. And we're trying to tell ourselves, well, do we just go for it again? Because I want more of that, and we go for it again, or go for something new, go for something different, and then maybe we run across a message that makes more sense to us, and it comes across like, no, you need more than that. Here's a key to happiness. It can't just be all about you. Look for meaning. And so we go for the key of happiness that will give us more meaning. You know, find a way to make a difference. So we go for the key of happiness that will help us make a difference in somebody around us, and we do experience a little something different there. Maybe it's a little more lasting, but it sure is not quite as wowsy as some of the other things, and we're just looking for these keys. And so many of us are experiencing life in such a way where it's like we're adding keys to this massive key ring, and we just keep trying to use these keys. And so today we're going to take a look at a different concept than that, just looking for more keys, looking for more keys, more keys to happiness, because I want to be happy, right? So we're going to talk about the master key. Use the master key, because there is something better than just this key, that key, this happiness, let's get filled up with this and that. We're looking for the master key. We've been in the little letter to the Philippians. I got to switch objects now. And in this little letter to the Philippians, if you missed last week, I just want to let you know that Paul wrote a little letter, but he's in chains. And in chains, It's been 4 to 5 years now in 3 different locations, and it's still unjust because he's not getting a trial, and it's been 4 to 5 years and not the speedy trial we expect here, and it's just not right, but he's so filled with joy because he's learned something. It's not this key or that key or that key or that key. It is not this time or that time. It's all the time with the master key you can experience joy. And so we got to figure out, what is he getting at as he talks about this thing, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So welcome to Use the Master Key. Even though we want to shun the misleading messages of the world and embrace the truth, we struggle to do so because we are really swimming in lies, so used to hearing them, so frequently do they come that it's hard for us to differentiate the lies and the misleading truths about what really makes us happy. So even believers, and even if you're a solid believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it might be quite easy for you to read the Bible looking for loose keys instead of seeing how it all fits together as a master key might fit together and open all the pockets that you need for the joy that Paul is describing. Because we're just reading the Bible and we think, I want more in my relationship. I want more in this. I want more in that. And we're looking for this key and that key and this key and that key and this key and that key. And we can even read this little letter as if it's filled with loose keys. So I want to illustrate that as we jump right in. The loose key approach. On the screen, let's start with verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. It's hard to have a letter with chapters, but that's what this is. It's a letter, but we do identify the lines after the fact, long after it was written, so that we can study it together and talk on the same page and look to the same line. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Now, it might make sense that last week we gave you the thrust of the whole letter so that we could back up and look at verse 1. It's like, okay, here's one of those keys. Paul and Timothy have become servants of Christ. That's the key. We need to make sure that we see ourselves as servants of Christ Jesus. So we get a little loose key and we toss it into our lives. We got a key. Whew. We're now servants. Verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Aha, another key. Or is that two? Grace and peace. Wait. Grace sounds good. Peace sounds good. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. I like that. I'll take that key. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. Remember to thank God. Even when I remember you. Wait, that's not how it read, huh? But rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Huh. Okay, that seems good. Verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Wow, that's quite a key. Practice praying always with joy. Practice praying always with joy. I got to remember that one. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. What's the key there? Invest yourself in the gospel. Be a partner with the gospel. Boy, I never saw that coming. Didn't know that was a key to happiness. Okay, invest sounds pretty heavy. Oh, I'll try it. Okay? Six? Verse six. Thank you. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So, what's the key there? Confidently trust his good work in you. Oh, that sounds good. Right? All these loose keys going in. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to surprise you with this one, maybe. Here, the key to joy is expressing your positive feelings. Gentlemen, that's a stretch, isn't it? Wow! I mean, look at those phrases that Paul uses. Like, brother, I long for you with affection. Wow! Well, let's clarify it. With all the affection of Christ Jesus, my brother. We're just not very bubbly, us guys, expressing our feelings, but yet there's a way in which as you express more of those feelings, those positive feelings, and you express them in a relationship, guess what? Not only are you making the other person happier, you're making yourself happier. I like that key. I better practice that one. Did I already put that key in? I think I did. I better do it twice. Okay, moving on. Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus. So I'm going to just kind of highlight one key. There's probably more than one key there. But the highlighted key is, let your love flow within the banks of God's will. Let your love flow within the banks of God's will. A lot of people letting their love flow wherever, whenever, however, with whoever. And then within God's will is where you want your love to flow, okay? In knowledge and the depth of insight. Verse 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So, for fruit, stay connected to the root. That's a lot of keys. All right. Don't look at your notes. Can you name five of them? Three? That's the problem with loose keys. You lose them. Right? What we need is the master key. And the master key is what holds it all together, rather than thinking in terms of, I like this in the Bible, I like that in the Bible, I kind of like that, I get that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I don't like that one. All of it comes together when you understand that the master is your key, and you have to be in a particular kind of relationship with him in such a way that these things come through him to you, over you, in you, and through you, and that's the key. Let's pray and go home. I'm going to put it on the screen this way. Master key, every blessing comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, we just read it in verse 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. I don't know if you think of righteousness that way, where you might be thinking of righteousness as your right living that comes through you. This is all of this that we've just described that comes through Jesus in you and through you. And we want to talk that through. So point number one is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the master key. The Lord Jesus Christ is the master key. That's better than trying to figure out which ones to pick and choose and what do we do with those. It's going to be the easy Sunday school answer. Jesus is the answer to every one of your questions about how will I be happier? Jesus. What I need to do is let Jesus be the master of my life, so that like a key, my soul, which is conflicted, my soul is made up of my mind, my will, my emotions. My mind that's all conflicted starts to have this confliction turn and shift. Everything's in place where the thoughts start to align with God's will. Mind, will, and emotions. The very thing that I want to do gets conflicted with the other thing that I want to do. And we just heard about sacrifice. Sometimes you choose one thing you want, which means you got to sacrifice the other thing that you want. How does this all align? Again, the key, Jesus, in our lives, opening our soul up to him. That this, the conflicts begin to not be there inside of us. Our emotions are all conflicted. Because Jesus is not filling us. We've been filling us with whatever we can fill ourselves with, and we are conflicted, then empty, conflicted, then empty. We need Jesus, the master key. So let's revisit this back up to verse 1. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Wow, that is quite a statement. Now, he's saying to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Now, Paul is calling every believer in Christ Jesus one among all, God's holy people at Philippi. We don't think this way. And different translations don't help us much because some translations say God's saints in Philippi. We're thinking, wait, that's even more confusing because of our filters. Whatever background you came from, a lot of people think saints are those nearly perfect holy ones that the church has canonized and declared them to be saints. And so when we read all God's saints, all God's holy people, if he was writing a letter to Verde Valley Christian Church, to all God's holy people at Verde Valley Christian Church, would you view yourselves as one among those all or not? Paul would, if you're in Christ Jesus, because there's the word, there's the phrase. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus. If you have the master key and you're united with Jesus Christ, that makes you one among the all God's holy people. This statement was not to exclude or set apart some among the church. In fact, at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. So it's not like the elite overseers, the elite deacons, these leaders of the holy ones, and the people are not. No, all are the same holy people in Christ Jesus. So look to your neighbor and say, you're a saint. Now, do you believe it? We got to talk that through. Because this tension gets to be real strong as you start to think this through as it relates to Scripture. Because Paul writes in other places like Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. So how can you be talking about all God's holy people when there is nobody holy? What are you talking about? And that's what we kind of have to sort through theologically and what Paul is getting at here. And this is key for us to understand ourselves and our identity. So which is it, Paul? Are we God's holy people filled with the fruit of righteousness? So that's verse 1 and verse 11. Or is there no one righteous, not even one? You can't have it both ways, Paul, can you? Paul's answer is, listen more carefully. Verse 1, let's look at it again. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And let's take a look at verse 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So even really small words in Bible texts carry crucial information. We need to get a hold of this crucial information, because if you just go ramp, ramp, and just grab the key you want, you might be missing the key. Okay? And so this in Christ Jesus and through Jesus Christ, these are crucial key thoughts. We are saved because of our position, not because of our condition. Can you just say that with me? We are saved because of our position in Christ, not because of our condition. So on the screen, I'm going to put an illustration here, the balloon illustration. I couldn't really pull it off with two balloons. I didn't even try. So here's the drawing. We are saved because of our position. So the blue balloon is within Christ. Now, we look a little like Christ. Now, some of us look like little limp balloons inside of this nice balloon that's carrying us. And little tiny balloons that aren't very Christ-like. And there's a big gap between our skin and his skin, so to speak. You know, and there's a big, we're not really looking like Jesus all that much, but in Christ, because by faith we united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection in covenant, just like he invited us to. When we united with him by faith like this, we united with him in his death. We united with him in his crucifixion. Our old lives crucified, now in Christ, we're united according to Romans chapter 6. And now in that position, we are God's holy people. Now, we need to grow to look more and more like Christ so that that gap between what he looks like and what we look like gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but that gap will never disappear until we meet Christ face to face, according to Scripture. But it's our position, not our condition, and not the gap that determines whether we are God's holy people. So if you're in Christ, that's a big if. Not everybody's holy, but all who are in Christ are holy by Christ's merit in that position. So I want us to look at verse 6 again, chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So that we're going to look more and more like Christ because we're in Christ. He would say, all of God's holy people, now that you, by your identity, have been set apart in Christ to be holy, let's be holy. Let's work at it. Let's be different than the world. That's how the New Testament speaks all the time. So you need to understand this tension, that in our identity, we are now set apart as holy people to be saints on earth. Set apart. Did you know that in the temple system of the old covenant, furniture was cleansed and declared holy? Think about that, because we think of holy as moral and pure, right? A table really is not a moral being. It's an inanimate object. I've never seen a table sin, right? It can't choose impurity. But it's set apart for a holy purpose. In Christ Jesus, we've been set apart for a holy purpose. We've been made holy because we're connected with the holy. All right? So it helps me to recognize, now that you've been set apart for a purpose and made holy, the key is in you. It's shifting things inside. Now let him over you, through you, in you, start to live it out to where you are being brought into a relationship that is transformative because of him. That's key. We're going to jump ahead in the letter just to give you this concept in the very letter itself, chapter 2. Philippians, well, before we do, let's fill in the blank. Point two, holiness, like salvation, is received, not achieved. Let's say that together. Holiness, like salvation, is received, not achieved. So when we enter into this union with Jesus Christ, it's because of what he did on the cross that we can even enter, right? And once we enter into our union with Jesus Christ, that's not something you achieved. It's just your faith response to what he has done, receiving what he has done. And in that union, then, you receive this salvation, and you also receive holiness being set apart as your identity, and you're becoming more and more holy, more and more like Christ. That's what it means to be holy. Now, if you have no idea what Christ is like because you never spend time looking into his face, hearing from his words, letting those words affect your soul, I'm sad for you. You need to look into his face, hear from his words, really get to know him well, on a talking basis with regularity, because it's interactive. It's not just words on print. And in this interactivity between you and your Savior, you're being transformed. If that's not your experience, I feel sad for you. Let's jump in together. Let's look into his words. Let's look into his face. Let's interact in prayer. Let's meet our Savior and get to know him better. He transforms you as you do. Holiness, like salvation, is received, not achieved. Now, although that is true, God is asking you to grow. And growing is not just something that you receive. It's a two-party action. I want to show you this. It's a two-party action. You enter into a union with Jesus Christ, and he's saying, there's your part, and there's my part, and we work together on this. That's how it works. I want to show you this from Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's our part. For it is God who works in you, that's God's part, to will and to act, which is the result, in order to fulfill his good purpose. Grace is not opposed to our effort. We read some of Paul's statements and we automatically assume that anything we put any effort to is earning. Grace is opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to effort. Okay? If you're trying to earn your salvation, God is opposed to that. You have nothing in yourself that can merit salvation or merit holiness. You can't achieve it. You can only receive it, but there is work involved. That's why he's called you to follow him and be a disciple. Discipline has in its root the word disciple. If you are not working out the disciplines of the faith, you're not actively following Jesus as a disciple. What I just said there should smack us a little bit. If all you're doing is passively receiving what bits and pieces somebody brings before you, and you're not working out your faith in the disciplines that Jesus taught his disciples to work out, you're missing out, and I'm sad for you. Grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. Salvation is a gift to receive, not something we can achieve on our own. Holiness is a gift to receive, but it takes work and discipline to get good at receiving all the goodness of Jesus Christ that's available to us. You know, absorbing the words of God in such a way that it's starting to shift your thinking. And you're empowered by the words of God to live in a different way instead of the misleading messages of this world. If you're not filtering through your brain the messages from God over and over and over again, you won't have a filter for what's true and what's false. And so there are disciplines and there's work that helps us to experience more joy. Point number three is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your master? I'm going to switch translations just to emphasize a couple of words that smack us a little differently. So I'm going to take a look at the New Living Translation, and I'll put it on the screen for you. And we're going to read through the same section we've read through now, but more as a whole. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. Now, our brains go, slaves of Christ Jesus. With our American history of slavery, that's a really, really bad word. But Paul and Timothy are seeing their slavery to Christ Jesus in a completely different filter than the way we filter it that way. The slaves are bond slaves. They're in their culture, they were the servants that loved their master so much they wanted to be permanent servants because he was such a good master. And so Paul and Timothy entered into following Jesus Christ as Christ's bondservants, but they didn't have a problem using the idea of, I'm his slave. If you get this in your mind, it will be helpful. We're all slaves to something. You're going to be a slave to something. You're a slave to your passion. You're a slave to this addiction. You're a slave to this idea of why you're living life. You're a slave to whatever, whatever. You need to become set free by being a servant of Jesus Christ by choice. It's all about Jesus. If it's not all about Jesus, it tends to be all about you, and you will be a slave to that, and you are terrible master to serve. You're taking yourself in all kinds of disastrous places, as I showed you with the balloons, where you're laying limp and flat and you're wondering why it's not working. You're wondering why you're not happy, because you're a terrible, terrible master. We were never created to be masters of our own lives. We were created to be servants of God and to experience glory in the design of serving God and receiving all the life and joy he has to offer us as we center our lives on him. Is Jesus your master? I'm writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus. There it is, belong to Christ Jesus. Ownership, that's a slavery word, but that was by voluntary choice. Think of it this way. Christ's voluntary choice was to give his life for you. Are you willing, in response, to give your life for him? Are you willing to give it up and quit living for yourself, and you're giving him all of your resources, all of your life, to be his servant? He did this to purchase you out of the kingdom of darkness and make you his. Now, it's not just slavery language, it's also wedding language. Will you be mine? And when you give it all up and say, yes, it's all for you, it's all about you, it has a whole different feel because he was willing to give it all for you, you're willing to give it all for him, and it's a beautiful love relationship, but it's according to your design, just like Jesus showed us. Human beings are designed to serve God. That's when we're happiest. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in my defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. So we need to take steps. Having heard this, here's a step I want you to take and take and take and take all through this week. Do you really look to Jesus as your master? Say this with me. Do I really look to Jesus as master? Or are you still calling the shots? I want to do this because this will make me happy. I want to do this because this will make me happy. I'm my own master. This is my own life. This is what I want to do. This is what makes me happy. Have you surrendered that to serve Jesus and check with Jesus what he wants you to do? That's the next step for you. I hope you've been encouraged today. Thank you for coming. I would love to have, if you're a guest, you fill out a Connect card. Lately, I've been saying, please be patient with us. You don't have to be patient anymore. Because we have put a new Start Here online teaching that you'll be connected with if you connect with this card. We'd love to just have you take a look and go from there, and we can interact from that point and see where it goes. Hopefully, we have all the links and all the things working for us. Tell us if something doesn't work for you. We're going to try to make this communication and these steps very practical for all of us. So fill this out. Go to the next steps area. Hand it in. We've got a gift bag for you. If you need prayer right now, today, there's a prayer team right there to go and get prayer. There's a prayer card to fill out and drop it in the giving box. Speaking of prayer, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have talked about how we tend to be conflicted inside. Our whole soul, our mind is conflicted, our emotions are conflicted, our will and desires end up in conflict, and our decisions are poor. We need you. We cry out to you, our Savior. Be our master, be our Savior. Save us, even from ourselves, that we might experience more and more of life, life to the full, as you and only you can bring to us. We ask you to enter into us, to let us be clothed with power, to receive your spirit, the power of resurrection as a result of your victory, and to live in that day by day and to honor you. We pray that you would give us what we need, that we can choose in the middle of these hard things that we go through to rejoice in the Lord always, and help us to choose again to rejoice. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. See you next week.